Good morning, all. I greet you all in Jesus' name, the name that is above all names. For an opening text, we can turn to 1 John 4, verses 16 through 18. We'll read that in the beginning. I appreciated everything that Mark shared and Delmer. The one verse that Mark read was, "Daily will I bless thee, O Lord." Is that our hearts? That daily we wake up and we praise and bless the Lord. How great is our God? So yeah, in verse 16, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment, and he that feareth is not made perfect in love." And we'll read 19. We love him because he first loved us. So yeah, with that, God's love is the reason that no one in the church should fear death. God's desire for us should not be a burden. When I say fear, where do your minds go? There's probably a consequence, something that your minds go back to. Is fear and being afraid the same thing? The one fear is about love, and the other is about being afraid. So there are two types of fear. The one is having the fear of God, is to be wrong, is to be afraid to do wrong. And the other is an I don't care attitude, that no one is telling me what to do. With that fear, we place God over on this side and we say, we don't need you right now. This morning we sang a song, "Come Gracious Spirit," and the one verse is verse 2. "The light of truth to us display, make us know and choose thy way. Plant holy fear in every heart, that we from God may ne'er depart." So, yeah, today's message, I pray that it can stir our minds as believers to take inventory where we stand, we truly stand with God. As Delmer shared on being obedient. You guys all like being obedient, right? So I would like for everyone, not sure how this is going to work out, but we're going to try. We're going to take a trip back in time. And Delmer alluded to it a little bit, Mark did too. The beginning of time. So if you could all with me, just close your eyes for a moment. The children and all. And if we think of that, this is more for the children too. But if you think, this world was void. It was empty. There was nothing in this world. But then God made light. He made the heavens and the earth. But in day one, if you can picture with me, with your eyes closed, it is empty. There's nothing in this world. It was darkness. There was no form. It was without form. It was void. But then God spoke on that first day, and he made light. And light appeared. And then in the second day, he made the firmament. He divided the waters from the waters. He made the heavens in the sky. But there was still no sun. There was still no moon or stars. Then on day three, he made the dry land. He made the trees and the plants. So we see there was a beginning of forming things. He made the earth. Then on day four, he made the sun, moon and the stars, or the sun and the moon, and then it says he placed the stars also. But how great of a God that we serve. And the fish of the sea and the birds he made on the fifth day. And then on day number six, he made the animals, and then at last, the animals and all the living things. And then at last, he made human beings. So you can all, if you have your eyes closed, you can open. But he created man. So what we want to look at is man. A bit. if we want to give this a title, I was thinking of finishing our course with the fear of God. He created man from dust, from the dust of the earth. He created man. I had to think, as I pondered that he probably went in the ground and the children play in the ground, but we work in the ground, and he maybe formed man out of that. But then he took that breath of life, and he breathed into man's nostrils, and man became a living being. But man had a beautiful garden, and I was going to take, so this dirt is dirty, and excuse me for these are kind of just some rough photos, but give us an illustration a little bit of what man had. I thought this was magnetic. Man had everything that they needed. They had a beautiful garden. And I just thought, these were some photos that I found. But they was beautiful. Man needed nothing more. They was in the beautiful place. And Satan seemed also. Satan was cast down in heaven. We're not going to go into that. But he was sly from that day when God cast him and his angels out of heaven. He knew the home that God had prepared for humanity. God knew that humanity was going to fail one day. But Satan seen, and he is still out to make so no one else makes it back into there. He's seen what a glorious home God had prepared for us. And he was going to do everything, and he is still out today to kill, steal, and destroy. But going back to Eve. They was in the garden, a beautiful garden. God told them, don't eat of the tree, that one tree. But I believe Eve lost the fear of God. At that moment, she no longer feared God. When Satan came to her and offered her to take that fruit, the fruit looked delicious. It looked good. But as soon as she took a bite, she automatically knew that she was naked. When God came down in the garden, they were afraid. They no longer feared God. They no longer had the fear of God. They was afraid. It's not fear, but afraid. Do we still have that fear of God, or are we afraid of God? Do we think that God, this quote comes from Lyra Kaufman on the home message. Do we think that God has a big stick? Every time we do wrong, he whacks us? No, he is a God of love. He wants us to have that fear of him, that we strive to do no wrong. Since they lost the fear of God, they had to face consequences. Anybody know? I'm asking for input. What that consequence was? Death. They had to face death. And from that, we have to face it as well. So at this moment, I have a song that I would like to sing. But I was going to read it first, and then we'll sing it. From the dust of the earth, God created man. His breath made man a living soul. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, and that is why I love him so. I was made in his likeness, created in his image, for I was born to serve the Lord. And I can't deny him. I will always walk beside him, for I was born to serve the Lord. My hands were made to help my neighbor. My eyes were made to read God's word. My feet were made to walk in his footsteps. My body is the temple of the Lord. For prayer. Yes, eternal God, Lord, we come before you at this moment. Lord, we thank you for everything that we have heard already, Lord. Just pray that you would just anoint my lips and, Lord, allow me to say the things that you want me to say, Lord, and help me to just have a peace and a calm, Lord, and just to give you all the honor and glory. Lord, we thank you for all the blessings that we do have, Lord. We thank you for allowing us to gather here. Lord, we just want to worship and honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Out of the dust, he created man, and from dust shall man return. I don't believe man was created to return. But we are all going to go there, unless Jesus comes back first. But he gave us a remedy. He gave us Jesus. His love for us goes beyond, I believe, more than what we can grasp. I have envisioned Paul to be a big, rough, and tough man. He thought he didn't fear anyone, and that everyone was afraid of him. He was threatening disciples in Acts there. He was threatening disciples, and I believed it caused the disciples to be a little bit afraid. They started to be afraid. What does the Bible? The Bible says on that, Luke 12, verse 4 says, I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But we see that the disciples, maybe they lost just a little bit of the fear of God at that moment because they was afraid of this man that was going to hurt them. It is so easy for us to maybe be careful not to say hard things to people. We are afraid because they might hurt us, put us in prison, or even hurt their feelings. I don't think we're going to face the prison part. We might, but more of hurting their feelings. As I think of what Marlon shared yesterday on Luke. Luke told him to share hard things. Say things that don't just tickle the ear, but to say the truth. How often do we tend to justify something that is maybe not 100% right? And we know it, but we bring Scripture into it, and we justify it. And we think that with Scripture, well, we're justifying it. But we know in our hearts that it's not right. We see that Saul feared no one. But when the Lord struck him down, he had a different fear. He did fear someone at that point. He asked the Lord with a trembling and astonishment, "What wilt thou have me to do?" I believe this was the beginning of Saul's fear of the Lord. So as Saul was knocked down there, he lost his sight. He went on. The Lord appeared to Ananias in a vision and told him that there's a man coming and you need to speak to him and give him his sight back. But Ananias said, "I have heard of this man. This man has done lots of evil. Why would I go to him and give him his sight back? Because he's just going to do the same thing to me." But God told him that I have chosen him for a vessel, and he is going to, because of what all he has done, I have chosen him. He's going to suffer great things for me. But Ananias obeyed. He had the fear of God. He did exactly what God wanted him to do. And I believe that that's for us today. Do we, when God calls us, do we have that fear of God, or do we say, "Wait, God, that's maybe a little bit big"? But if we truly have that fear of God, we will obey. Saul received his sight, and he was filled with the Holy Ghost. He also received something else that day. He received the fear of the Lord. As soon as he was hungry, as soon as he ate, he didn't wait. He started preaching to the people in the synagogues, everywhere around, and they were amazed. People were amazed at this man, because just a little bit ago, he was killing people and he was destroying their things. Now he was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ with fear, with a love. Paul tells us in Acts 14, verse 22, confirming the souls of disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, that through much tribulation enter the kingdom of heaven. We see that it is no easy road to make it into the kingdom of heaven. It's not just a life of ease, just a life of pleasure. In Acts 18, verse 9 and 10, the Lord spoke to Saul in a vision and told him, "Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in the city." The Lord told Saul, "Don't be afraid." His name has changed at this time, but he said, "Don't be afraid, speak hard things," as Luke told Marlon. Are we at times afraid to speak to people? Hard things. Are we afraid to say harsh things to an unbeliever? But I had to think, let's bring it a little closer. What about a brother? What about a brother that is maybe veering my own life? I want to open my life too. That maybe we're going the wrong way, but do we truly have that fear of God that we'll correct them? Or, he's too far off, we're just going to let him go. Or we're afraid maybe offenses are going to rise. But if he is heading down that path already, we need to have that fear of God, that love that God had for us. You know, when we was living our sinful lives, God was standing beside, just waiting on us to tell him, to acknowledge that he is God. That same promise that the Lord gave Paul, he gives to each one of us today. If it's hard things to say, the Lord is going to be right beside us. We could, in that same verse in Acts 18, verse 9, we could put our own names in there. Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. Like we could be Paul, the Lord spoke to, we could use Marlon in a vision and told him, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. But at times I think that maybe we tend to lose that little fear of God. We put God over here. And in 2 Timothy verse 4, verse 2. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. So the word of God tells us to reproof, rebuke, but it also says to encourage one another. This life, how is our life? This life is easy. We have and can get exactly what we want. We don't need to have the fear of God. There is no reason to think of death. We expect to get up in the morning. I don't know about all you all, but death. Are we afraid to die? I'm talking to the believers today, because this has been on my heart for some time. We all know that we're going to die. We all believe that, right? We all believe that we're going to die one day. Because from this dirt right here, we was created. And to this dirt, we are going to return. The other day, it was, it has been some time. Oh, I think it was over Chris of Eileen's funeral and stuff. One of my sons was saying something, well, what happens to his body? And we just explained that it goes back to this dirt and reality. If we don't have the fear of God, we will be afraid to die. Death is final. There will not ever be another chance to say, I'm sorry. I love you. Please forgive me. The list could go on. You could put your own things in there. Do we at times lose the fear of God and forget that we're going to die? God says in Genesis, from the dust wast thou created, unto dust shalt thou return. I know we read this in the Old Testament, but do we fully believe that we're going to die? Or is our life just of pleasure of ourselves, just fulfilling oneself? I believe when we lose that fear of God, we forget about death. In Revelation 21, it gives us a whole list of all that will be in the lake of fire. And he even says the fearful and unbelieving. I have heard it said before that, oh, we just had a little unbelief. But how does that look to God? He tells us in Revelations that the fearful and the unbelieving, at times, do we have just a little bit of unbelief? There is no room for unbelief. None at all. And I believe when that unbelief sets in, we lose the fear of God. I believe at times we have the same mindset as the modern day Christianity. We gave our hearts to the Lord, and we can just live a life pleasing to the flesh. We can make so our flesh is fully satisfied. We lack nothing. We know that we are going to die, but do we fully believe it as a Christian should? Do we fully have that fear of God? I know not all of us are called to be missionaries, but at the same time, do we work for the Lord or is it self? Do we fully fear the Lord that we want to please Him in every area of our life? This life, and I said this already, this life has so much to offer. We don't need to fear the Lord. There is no reason to fear God. We can go to work, we can make money, we can do everything. We can live a life of ease. And I believe that's what Satan had intended from the time that he got sent out of heaven and he entered that garden. He knew what God had prepared for mankind. And he knew, and he did not want mankind to go back there. And I believe that we're not facing persecution today, but we're facing a life of pleasing to the flesh, just a life of ease. I seen a billboard that read, excuse my writing. Said life, death, next God. That is so very true. After we leave this life, after we die, we're going to face God. But why not God now? We should be facing God every morning as when we wake up, as Mark shared already about having that daily will I bless thee, O Lord. It should be now that we face God. Brothers and sisters, this is for us today. Once we leave this earth, we will face the love of God, or we will forever face the wrath of God. At times, for me, it's hard to grasp what forever is like. I often think of Leroy Kaufman's message, again, on the Home series about the million years. In a million years, where will you be? And he says in there, it's not just about today, and I fully agree with that. But another thought that I had, it matters greatly what we do today. Because we are setting up for those million years. And I think if we let our minds go and we just think of a million years of this life, we have this life is so short, so small, that there is no room for, and yes, the Lord is merciful. We heard that today. The Lord has mercy on us when we ask for forgiveness. But I had to think, at times, maybe we get mad at our spouse, or maybe it's children. They get upset at their parents. It's just a real little bit. It's not a big deal. We say that we're sorry, and it's all good now. But in God's eyes, how does it look? You know, Jesus walked on this earth. We will never be perfect like he was. But he walked on this earth. He never failed. He lived a life. And the same, I think, of Paul, too. You know, Paul lived a life. At first, he lived a destroying life. He persecuted Christians. He lived a life not pleasing to the Lord. But then when the Lord struck him down and he had a change of heart, I believe Paul lived a life well-pleasing to the Lord. Our book is being written. We can have that greatest fear of God that every day that we arise, we look in an area to serve him. And we will have a blessed home. We will have a blessed. We will look at our parents blessed. We will look at our spouse blessed. I think of a song. I can't think of the name. I couldn't think of the name of it, but it was about making heaven our goal. And there's other things, but heaven needs to be our vision and our goal. That is the only thing that we're on this earth for. And again, as that song said that we sang, we was created from dust, and to dust shalt thou return. We were made to serve the Lord. We are going to put in there to fear the Lord. We were made to fear the Lord. Not only serve him, but fear. So yes, in the last couple years, I've seen quite a few deaths. You all have experienced death. Maybe some closer than others. My dad died when I was 7. So I grew up life without a father. He was 32 years old. My mom was 28. And I'm 30. I'll be 31 soon. And reality has been real. You know, I'm almost to the age my dad was when he died. That's probably why I'm thinking of death. I've been pondering death a lot lately. Like, the reality of it. You know, mom was left. She was widowed at 28 years old. And it's been 23 years now. But how real death is. And I had to ask myself the question, am I truly ready to die? Life is final. Death is final. There, like I said before, there is no more chance. There is, like, Mom shared a little bit of her story the other night when we was up there. The first time that I heard it. But I had to think a little bit on that. She got the phone call. We was outside playing. She got the phone call. And she went up alone, not knowing how bad it was. But they wouldn't let her into the room. She was out. She was out on the. When she got up there, she asked for him, and they took her into a room. And from there, they went into another room, not knowing. She did not know how bad he was at that point. Until the. Now I can't think of his name. That came in, the pastor came in, and he asked her if there's anyone that you need to call or that you can call, because before we take you to see him, you need to call someone. There's someone that you need to call. So she did. I think she called Grandpa's, but I'm not sure. But she had to call, and then they told her. But the reality that, like, it hit her that. Death is final. Death is it. She said she walked into the room. When someone else got up there, she walked into the room, and he was laying there like nothing was wrong. She said the only thing was they tied his tongue to the side. Otherwise, he looked perfectly fine. So yeah, that's probably where the question comes. It was Mom shared that with us the other night, and it was a quite touching. And then Grandpa, he passed away. It'll be 3 years this year. And, death has been, and Melinda's grandpa, we've faced quite a bit of death, and it just has been in my mind quite a bit, the reality of death. But Mom often said she don't know why life wasn't fair. But she did, she wondered why. And I had to think, I told her the other day that we was a close family. And we would have not had that relationship is maybe if Dad would have been there. So there was a reason through it all. But it has stirred my mind to thinking of death and the finality of death. But I do have to make a confession. I told my, as I was studying for this, my mind went to, my wife called my mother the other night. And they was talking about it, talking about thanking her for sharing her story just a little bit with us the other night. And that was the first time that it ever dawned on me. But as they was talking, my wife told my mom that, so you never talked about it at home? Well, she said we did, but it was probably me. For some reason, I don't recall. I don't remember. It was a shock, I believe. And I had no idea how to deal with it. So I blocked it out. But I believe that has affected me today in blocking things out. To just being open, to just talking about it. But so yeah, I often said that, well, Mom didn't share, talk about it, but she did. And it was me that just didn't want to acknowledge it, that we did talk about it. I just wanted to to close up and just not say anything, not talk about it, because I wasn't familiar with knowing how to respond. But we can know how to respond today. It's a great shock, but saying all these, there are days that I go through this life not having the fear of God and doing my own thing, not thinking about death, just going through this life, just living life and not thinking of death. I think that it needs to be on our hearts more than not to think of death, to talk about it, maybe as families to talk about it, because we don't know, driving home this afternoon, or even before that, someone could fall over in here. Our life is but a vapor. I often think of that. Someone had a message at Allen County about the dates on a tombstone. You got that small little dash. Our life is but a vapor. And I think if we have death alive in our home and we're talking about it, we're discussing it as a family, when death happens, we can face it. We can acknowledge it. But also that we can know where we're at. We can know that we have eternal life. If we're just living a life pleasing to the flesh, just serving self and not thinking about it, and it doesn't matter what I do, then we're going to be afraid to die. But everything, you know, sometimes we go through this life too just thinking, oh, I have a lot to do. This week looks full. I don't know how I'm going to get it all done. But if we die at that moment, it's all going to stay there. We're not taking anything with us. We can have a large bank account or we can have nothing. It doesn't matter. It's staying here. But all that we have done for Christ will last. That's the only thing. That is the only thing that we have to look for. Or that's the only thing that we should be doing while on this earth. I believe there was a man I met the other day. And I asked, and we was talking, and I asked him, so if you die today, where will you spend eternity? He said, oh, I know where I'm going. Simple as that. He said, I know where I'm going. I talk with the man every day. God is the final judge, but his language is foul. And I don't know what for life that he lived. I don't know. But he said he had a confidence. But do we have that confidence that we know where we are going? Not only saying it because everyone else is saying it, but truly, deep into our hearts, know that we know where we are going. Yes, death is real. Death is a mournful, it's sad, but yet we're all going to face it. There's not one of us exempt unless Jesus comes back first. He told us that. I had to think yesterday, as Marlon shared too, he said about the bridegroom coming back for his bride. He's on his way, I do believe. There's this world, we see the wars waxing worse, and this world is waxing worse and worse. But I think that it's a time for believers to draw close, to encourage one another, to admonish one another on being faithful, not just living the desires of the flesh. Lord, help us. You know, we can have lots to do. There's lots of things that we can do. We can say that we have to do. But if we're ready or not, he's going to come. And on the way up here, I'm not sure how we got on the subject, but about you can take your life. You can shorten your life. But I believe when God, I don't think that's the will of God that we shorten our life. But God has we all have a date. Our dates are all numbered. But also, our book is being written. Help us that we can all just, that our slate can be perfectly clean. Not just that day when we confessed it and we said that we're sorry and we're just living a life however we want to, but that we can strive on. And yes, this has been a great encouragement for me to look into it. It has been a challenge. But it has caused my heart to think that this life is meaningless if we're not doing it for Christ. I think of those verses of what's done for Christ shall last. But I often think of Paul's words that he says in 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8. I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So it's not for me, but it's for the whole world. And I think of that too, at times sharing with someone that don't know Jesus or that knows him, but just being harsh a little bit. At times just seeing where they truly are. Because God, but doing it out of love. You can't just do it harsh. Having that fear of God as you share with them. So they know. Because if we're not working for God, if we're just working for self, it's going to be in vain. But I believe that is why we need one another. For correction and offer encouragement. So we can all say those words again that Paul said. I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. That we can, when Jesus comes, we can know in our hearts that we can go live with him in eternity. And I had to think again of these life, death, next God. And it's real. Reality, it's true. So I don't have much more. I know it's a shorter message, but pray that you guys can be blessed, that we can be encourage and exhort one another, that we can press on, and that we can all walk hand in hand into that eternal home that God has prepared for us. He had a home prepared way back in the garden. He had a plan for everyone. So yes, God bless.